brave soldier, with rifle on the shoulder, and I'm ready for whatever comes my way.
CSE DOD Podcast with your host LOD and Noble Clem.
Oh no! We're all doomed!
And welcome to the BFE DOD Podcast for the week of September 4th, 2005. I'm your host, LOD, and I'm joined here with Noble Clem. We have a great show this week, and we're going to start off by recapping last week's battles. Noble Clem, take it away.
The Allies were able to successfully get three attacks in for the past week, one on Central Africa, Finland, and another on Algeria. We were unable to successfully attack either one of them, but we had some good battles. They were really close, and the Axis were able to successfully attack Belarus, which gives them access to Mother Russia.
And with that, a lot of people have been saying, you know, they've been crying at the end of the world for the Allies. I think it's all rational fear, and it's just like a mob of just people on the forums have lately been saying the campaign is over and the Allies have lost. I mean, the way I look at it, is that the Allies have lost two territories, and that's it. I mean, it doesn't seem like a big deal to me. The players are still filling the servers for almost 11 out of the 12 hours on all the battles. The servers have been full, and it looks like the turnout's great. I mean, the Axis have been winning, but it's not been blowouts. What do you guys think?
Well, what I see is also the same thing. Granted, we've had six battles, and we've lost them all. We've only lost two territories, but we do have a great group of people, and we just need to start pulling things together, which I saw us do on Railroad. We were able, even though we lost the territory, we were able to pull out quite a bit. We were able to get full caps with two men down.
Yeah, I saw the battles were really close this past week, and yeah, I agree. The battles were really close this week. It was really surprising to me because, like, the Allies did secure three attacks, but luckily for us, we were able to, you know, deflect them off. But they were really close. They were really close battles, and I was really surprised on how close, like, the battles actually were. On Railroad, Server 1, yeah, it was a little bit of a steamrolling until we lost a couple of reinforcements on both sides, actually. But Server 2, I mean, the Allies were pushing us back the whole time, so it was really good stuff this week.
I really didn't have the fortune of playing this Saturday, but
I played
Wednesday, and I only played for a little bit, but yeah, the Allies, it was a real tough battle.
Well, as all of you know, I've been a huge part of this campaign, having played a total of no battles, but looking at the numbers, it just seems to me that it's always been a kind of a close call with the Allies. Obviously, a couple of battles they've had lost on the handicap, but I don't see any reason to give up just yet. I mean, I really want to try and get in some time this Wednesday and next Saturday, hopefully. And, you know, I don't think it's over.
Yeah, I think the Axis having won six battles and the Allies not securing a single battle, yeah, I think it's over.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, Fireblade. So five people think that the Allies are still in it. Fireblade thinks it's over. That's interesting. I think we've talked about this enough. I believe personally it's not going to be an issue. I think the Allies are still in this campaign. But anyways, moving on to some bigger and better news. I think this basically affects everyone in BFE and the Data Beat community. We finally got word out from Valve. Source is supposed to be here by the end of the month. A couple of weeks ago, some screenshots were leaked of, you know, an Axis holding a spade. That was a couple weeks ago. Then over the weekend, a video was released showing some footage of Source. And on the 2nd of September, I believe it was, Valve basically said, end of the month, we're having Source. So what do you guys think?
Well, I think they're going to pull another Half-Life 2 and say that they lost a bunch of Source code for it, and they're going to have to delay it for an entire year. But, you know, it may happen. They may actually pull this out of their butt. But I'm not putting any hopes up on it.
I was looking at some of the screenshots, and I think it just looks like it's just the Source engine. It just looks like DoD with a facelift to me. I can see myself playing it, but only like you do Counter-Strike Source, just on and off, just a few times. I think I'm going to stay with the original DoD.
DoD Source, I got a lot to say about this. You know, it's one of those things where I haven't bought Half-Life 2 because I don't want to spend $50 on a game I'll play once. Astro brags on me for getting it because I should get it for the mods and stuff, but I'm interested to know how it's going to be available. You know, can I just walk into Best Buy or whatever and pick up a standalone copy like you can with DoD right now, or am I going to have to pay the silver package and get the whole thing. I mean, I do want to play. It's like on the Mofo show, you mentioned how the community has come together, and that's why I stick around for the community. But I'm not going to go and spend $60 just to play Source.
Well, I did read that that Valve has stated that you're going to be able to buy Day of Defeat on their on the Steam system, and that you won't have to have the silver or gold packages. And they also, I believe, I was reading that you're going to be able to get it retail through, I believe it was also a CS Source package, that it was going to be bundled up together.
Yeah, scary enough. EA, Electronic Arts, is going to be releasing Counter-Strike Source and Day of Defeat Source bundled together on store shelves.
I don't like EA. I'll just put that out there. I mean, don't have to go into reasons why. But I think it's typical EA that they put together with CS Source. I mean, yeah, some of you guys do play CS, but how many hardcore DoD guys do you know that also play Source? CS. I'm probably going to get shot down for this one because people do, but I myself don't play CS at all because I don't like it. That's why I play DoD. And this is yet another example of EA forcing something down our throats that we don't need or want and then come along with a bad customer support just to top things off.
Well, you have to keep in mind, though, a lot of people that have played Day of Defeat have also played Counter-Strike, and they played Counter-Strike first, therefore putting Counter-Strike Source and Day of Defeat Source in the same package could draw some players to Day of Defeat Source.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, definitely. But how do you think it's going to affect the BFE community now? I mean, obviously the people who run DoD on their systems know it works fine. And, Wolverine said that he ran Half-Life 2 on his machine. It wasn't the top specs. But you think we'll have people leave the tournament because they can't run Half-Life 2? I think we'll see a boost or a drop in numbers.
We will see an increase of numbers just because the overall Day of Defeat community should hopefully expand. But I think we will lose a lot of people that are currently in BFT. I think we'll lose a lot of people that have low-end systems or are interested in Source. I think we all saw how the Counter-Strike community was basically split. About, you know, three-quarters of the people probably still play the regular Counter-Strike, but there is a, you know, there's also a Source community, and it split them. Day of Defeat, I don't think, can survive a split since we're so small. But I'm hoping that everyone just goes with Source. We're definitely going to lose some people on the low end that just can't afford to buy the game or can't afford to upgrade their computer.
What exactly is the price of this new thing? Any idea how much it's going to cost to get the bundle?
I don't know, $20-$30 seems reasonable. I mean, they could probably go as high as $40. I wouldn't see them charging more than $40, I would hope, at least.
You have to keep in mind, though, when I saw Condition Zero came out, that was out on the shelf for $50 or $60, wasn't it?
Well, also remember that when you get a company like EA in there, you're going to be adding almost $10 to the price of the game just to see it on the shelf. So if you buy it from Steam, you're going to be saving yourself probably that much money because there's not that distribution, that package, the packaging and everything needs that you need to obtain. But I would expect that you could probably get it for $10-$15 off Steam when they finally do release it.
Is it going to be a standalone thing? Like, do you have to have Half-Life 2 to run it or not?
I don't believe so. With Steam, you can buy any game you want. With Steam, you can buy just Counter-Strike Source, I would hope. Well, actually, never mind. Maybe you can't. Maybe you have to buy the package. I'm not sure. Does anyone know? Can you buy just Counter-Strike Source off Steam?
Right now, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure the way they have it set up right now is that you have to have one of the three packages in order to play it. But I think that in the short term, they are going to be expanding that. They've also been, Gabe Newell was also talking about, some people are already running version 3 of Steam, so that could be one of the changes that they're doing, is to be able to allow selling small mod packages.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the model of IT and a lot of the online distribution, the a la carte model might just be better, especially if you have somebody, you know, let's say you have a friend that sees you're playing a game, and they're like, what game's that? You're like, oh, I'm playing Counter-Strike Source or Day of Defeat Source. They might go, I want that game, but I don't want to spend $50 for it. I'll go to Steam, and I'll buy just Counter-Strike Source for $12, and I'll be able to play with you. And it'd be like, oh, all right. So anything else about just the Source distribution? Should we move on to gameplay? What do you guys think about the gameplay? In one of the recent videos, I saw an image that kind of startled me. was an ally infantry soldier with a grenade launcher on the end of his rifle.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was kind of curious about that. I mean, I'm not a big World War II buff, but I don't ever remember seeing anything with a grenade launcher on the end of a Garand.
The grenade launcher did exist in World War II. All you have is you put the attachment on the end of the rifle, put the grenade on there, and then you load a single round that hasn't got a bullet in it. It basically just shoots out the gas, and the gas from that shoots the grenade off. I think it's going to be great, but I'm worried about what kind of power it's going to have. I wonder if you just have a bunch of guys, everyone running around with grenade launchers.
I was wondering like if it's going to be like in Battlefield 2. Like I noticed right now that it's like the M203 horse. Like are people just going to be using the grenade launcher just to kill you, or what's up with that?
Well, I think the one thing that comes into play there is that with the 203 in Battlefield 2, it's so easy to load and shoot, but maybe with the grenade launcher, they'll make it into a fairly lengthy process where you have to put the attachment on the end of the rifle, unload, and chamber the blank round. Maybe that could detract from people running around with it all the time.
I'm sure they'll have some sort of a slow crosshair closing system on it, because they were extremely inaccurate unless you had something to prop your rifle against.
Well, that brings up another question entirely. Will we even have crosshairs in the next version of in the Source? The latest video showed iron sights. I mean, is it even a possibility, you think, that they would only have iron sights, or would they do something like Call of Duty, where the iron sights are more accurate and the crosshair is less accurate?
I would be kind of disappointed if they got rid of crosshairs. I actually like it. I've played Call of Duty, and there's some aspects of the game that I just didn't like. And if they made Day of Defeat Source like Call of Duty, it would probably actually deter me from wanting to play Source.
I'm going to say that I like the iron sights idea. I think it adds a whole bunch of realism to the game. Personally, with Battlefield 2, I think the iron sights feature is one of the best things they have, because you can really get a feel of being a lot more accurate, whereas I think with the weapons now in DoD, we just, it's more guesswork.
Well, iron sights just slows everything down. I mean, in games with iron sights like Battlefield, Battlefield 2 is more of a vehicle game, so the weapons are kind of secondary. But I know for Call of Duty, that's a game I've played, and it's also World War II themed. Just the iron sights make all the infantry, unless you're really, really close to someone with a submachine gun, basically all the gunfire is more, it's slowed down and more thinking involved and more sneaking.
Well, the thing with Call of Duty is, though, that the guns are, like, so horribly inaccurate without the iron sights that you pretty much have to use them if you're going to kill anybody from range. But, like, in DoD, if they just left the guns pretty much the way they are now and added the iron sights and made it a little bit more accurate, I think it would actually be an improvement.
But what if they do Call of Duty? That's what I'm afraid of, because the only experience I've really had with iron sights, maybe I'm just haven't played enough games, but my experience has been when a game has iron sights, the iron sights are more accurate and the crosshair is less accurate. So you're saying you're hoping that the crosshair and the iron sights are both just as accurate and you could do one or the other?
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid of that too. And they probably will do something stupid like that, but I mean, we can only hope that they won't.
I really think that's the way it's going to be, because if you have iron sights and crosshair at the same accuracy, no one's going to use the iron sights, because it narrows your field of view, takes up half the screen with the sighting, so no one's going to use it.
Well, I don't want it to be the same accuracy. I want it to be better, but I'm saying just when you're not using it, leave the guns the same as they are right now.
One thing I've noticed from the screenshots, though, a couple of the screenshots posted on the forums, that these iron sights almost give you a tunnel vision.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was talking about when it says it narrows your field of view. I think it's a good idea to have the iron sights in there just when you want to have a good, accurate, long-range shot. But like you said, Red Falcon, if you're just using the crosshairs, it's good if they're accurate as they are now.
Well, I think we've touched on this a lot. We're going to have to wait and see, you know, what happens when the game gets released, hopefully by the end of the month. But in the meantime, we're joined here with Buddha, representative from the Executive Council, and we want to talk about the recent ban of Point Blank for cheating. Oh, Buddha, what can you tell us? What happened? What was he caught doing?
very easy. He was caught cheating outside BFE in a scrim, an official scrim in Cal. And basically, it was pretty blatant. So we decided to, with the rules we have, to ban him from this campaign.
What can you elaborate on what he was what cheat he was caught using?
I'm not sure which one. From my perspective, it was some kind of ESP. He did some pretty weird shot with it while in game. It didn't start at the beginning of the game, but the more I see, the more. It was pretty weird.
And do you think the EC will be getting harsher and harsher on cheats that are being caught outside of BFE? Because so far it looks like you guys are getting progressively a little bit worse on your punishments that you're giving out right now.
Probably yes, because look, we banned Metallica for cheating outside BFE. If we don't do that, people will try anything outside BFE on pub server or anywhere, and they will get back and eventually try it on BFE. Next time, be aware. Every time a guy will be caught cheating outside BFE, he will be banned from BFE.
Well, anyways, thanks for coming on, Boo. That was some great information you gave to everyone. But going off kind of a cheating tangent we're on, Miss J is back in BFE. If you listen to the recent Mofo interview on the Mofo Show episode number 1 that was released last night, he's back. What do you guys think? Are the policy changes such as banning cheaters outside of BFE a positive thing to bringing players back?
Well, I'll just go ahead and speak here because I've known Mish as long as I've been in BFE, which is BFE 11. He and I were always in the powers together. And he's a real good guy. I can remember sitting there late at night in the reinforcements line on his webcam. He's sitting there drinking. The guy's pretty much drunk 24/7, but one of the nicest guys you'll meet in BFE. And when he left because of the cheating policy, I honestly considered leaving too because he's got a good point. But now that he's back, I think it's great. I think it really just showed he meant it when he left. And the new policy, if it brings people back, excellent. I'm really pleased to see him back, and I can't wait to get some game time and kill him. I was just going to say that, just a quick one to everyone who listened to this, who left BFE, come on back and try it again, because I really like the new policy. The fact that it brought Mishy back into the game is great, so everyone should give it one more try.
That sounds great, and with that, I think we're going to wrap up the podcast. I want to thank our panel for coming on. We had a Moondog, Buddha, myself, Noble Clem, Red Falcon, Fireblade, Matrix, John Matrix. So I want to thank you guys for being on the show, and we'll be back next week. Thanks.
Thank you for having us. And I'd like to take 1 minute here just to rag on that Nub, who seems to have his own show now. I don't know how this happened. I don't know why you guys did this. The last thing you ever want to do is give Mofo a public forum to talk. I mean, he hasn't invited me on his show yet, and I'm pretty much the best player in BFE DoD, as everyone knows, and he hasn't put me on the show yet, and I don't know why. So, Mofo, this is pretty much a public challenge. I mean, you better improve the quality of your guests, buddy, or I'm going to have my own show.
We've paid our dues time after time. We've done our sentence, but committed no crime.
And bad mistakes, Bruce made a few.
We've had our shovels smacked in our face, but we've come through.
And I need to go.
Champions, we are the champions.
taken our bows and our curtain calls. You brought us fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. We thank you all. But it's been no bed in roses, no pleasure cruise. We consider it a challenge before the whole axis race, and we ain't gonna lose. We are the champions, my friend. We'll keep on fighting till the end.